this is something that I think that in the body of Christ we don't do enough. And that's one of the things that even Brother Curry Blake in his study was really emphasizing, that it's something that we don't really do very often in our walk with God. And because of that, we're really missing out on a lot of benefits that God has for us in our relationship with Him and the power that is available unto us by doing this. So we're going to be talking about, again, praying in the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues, looking at Jude chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. And hopefully I'll be able to get you guys out of here in a decent amount of time. But as you know, I like to put all my lessons into sections. And this lesson has three sections. The first is called the charger, and we'll be talking about one of the primary functions of praying in other tongues, and that it is used to really charge you up spiritually, and that one of the reasons why that we are weak in areas spiritually is because that we're not praying in tongues enough. The second section, we'll talk about, yeah, I stuttered. That's the name of the second section, and in that section, we're going to talk about some of the challenges that people face with praying in other tongues, why people don't pray in tongues very often, and why for some people it's a struggle. We'll talk about that in the second section. And the third one is called, I'm at a loss for words, and we'll talk about how the Holy Spirit helps us to pray in the most adverse circumstances, and we'll talk about what's called groaning in the Spirit, what the purpose of that is, and how that can be very beneficial in prayer. And so we're going to talk about the fundamentals of praying in tongues, its functions, its many different, the different benefits we receive praying in tongues in the first section. I said we'll talk about the challenges that we face, why people don't pray in tongues very often, and some tips to kind of help you to pray in tongues on a more regular basis and more fluently. And then thirdly, we'll talk about, again, groaning in the Spirit. So with that being said, let's take a look at our scripture text, Jude chapter 1. Actually, there's only one chapter in Jude, so you can't really miss it. So the book of Jude, we'll look at verses 18 through 21, which simply says, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts, these being they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit. It's talking about people in the last days, how they would mock the people of God, that they're nonconformist, they're strange, they're odd, they do not fit in with the status quo of the world, and that these individuals, the Bible describes them as being sensual, meaning that they're of their five senses, that they are carnally minded, that they only are able to describe their reality or perceive their reality through the five senses, sight, smell, taste, touch, and hearing, and so on. But they have not the Spirit. But it says about us in verse 20, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And I had that phrase highlighted there, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. One of the ways to really build up your faith, to build yourself up spiritually, as the scripture says here, is to pray in the Holy Ghost. And when you do this, it says that it keeps yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So this is our main text, and that we're really talking about building ourselves up spiritually by praying in the Holy Ghost. So section number one, the charger. And that's one of the scariest signs to see. If you ever get your cell phone out and you see that blinking red light, you know, you see that, oh man, I only got like 5% left, and I'm watching this thing on YouTube or whatever, or I'm on Facebook or I'm on Twitter, I want to post this picture, or you want to make a phone call, or perhaps you're expecting a phone call from, let's say, a job offer, and all of a sudden you look at your phone and, oh, no, there's not much of a charge left. It's a pretty scary feeling. It's a pretty horrible feeling when you see that, when you have a low battery. And so we want to talk about how to prevent that type of event occurring spiritually. One of the things that I see in the people of God is that a lot of us were weary. We're worn out. We're getting tired. We're getting exhausted. We're getting trodden down. And what we're going to discover is that if you do this right, you won't get weary. You won't get burned out. You won't get have a low charge, so to speak, spiritually. 1 Corinthians 14:18. This is a pretty good endorsement from the Apostle Paul on speaking of the tongues. And actually, this entire chapter, 1 Corinthians 14, the entire chapter is about praying in other tongues, the purpose of it. Paul said this, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than ye all. It's a pretty good endorsement. He is thankful that he prays in tongues more than anyone. And that we're going to kind of emphasize that point a little bit later on in the lesson. There's something I think is very interesting that's there about him making that statement, about him saying that he thanks God that he prays in tongues more than us all, apparently. But that's a pretty good endorsement. Why was Paul so big on praying in other tongues? Let's look at some things here. Our spirit is like a battery that, if not charged, can lose its ability to function and operate. God has provided a charger to replenish and refresh our spirit called speaking of the tongues. Speaking of the tongues is equivalent to taking your phone and putting it on a charger. It recharges, refreshes, replenishes. It re-energizes the functionality, the energy that is there. And we find this in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4, again, that same chapter talking about speaking of the tongues, Paul writing to the church of Corinth, "He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church." And I have that phrase, unknown tongue, edifieth himself. The Greek word there for edifieth, and I'm going to see if I can pronounce this right, is oikodomeo. It's a little bit tricky to pronounce. And it literally means, it's the word edification. It means to build up, erect, establish, or repair. It's where we get the word like edifice, to build up a structure, like some scaffolding, to build up, to strengthen, to secure, to establish. And so whenever you're praying in tongues, the Bible says that you're edifying yourself. You're building yourself up, strengthening yourself, charging yourself up. And so whenever you're, if you're going through a crisis and you're like about to rip out your hair, you don't know what to do, this is one of the best things to do when you're stressed out and you feel like worn out. One of the best things to do is just have a time of just praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in tongues. It recharges you. It gives you the energy. It gives you the clarity of mind to deal with the situations at hand. And whenever you're not doing this, you'll find yourself getting burned out very easily. You'll find yourself getting weak quickly and easily when you're not doing this on a regular basis. Isaiah 28:11. This is a prophecy that was done some 800 years before the day of Pentecost by the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah 28, verses 11 through 12 says, "For of stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people." Now, we've read that verse, and I'm sure you've heard that verse preached before, using that as a way of showing that God had preordained this as being a means of showing the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you read the next verse, you start to find out something very interesting here. He says, "To whom he said, this is the rest where ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear." The Bible says that this is the means by which I'm going to cause your spirit to rest, those of you that are weary. This is the means by which you can find a refreshing. But the Bible says that people would not hear. They would not listen to this advice, this counsel of praying in other tongues. Now, again, Paul quotes this verse in 1 Corinthians 14, talking about other tongues. We see in 1 Corinthians 14:21, "In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord," that they don't hear. People do not really want to pray in tongues very often. And now, why is that? Again, we'll address that in section number 2. Acts 3:19. "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." That you get refreshed by being in God's presence. You get in God's presence by praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in other tongues. And so whenever you're really going through a situation, you do this, it's really powerful. And I can attest to this personally, that during some of the most chaotic situations in my life, when I prayed in tongues, it just gave me the strength. It built me up. It calmed me down. It gave me peace and clarity. I'll never forget, this is years ago. It's probably like, some 14 years ago, 13, 14 years ago. I was working for a job that I absolutely hated, could not stand this job. And it was second shift, and I think I got off like around 11 o'clock, midnight-ish. And I was coming home on the highway, and I got stuck on the highway because there was construction, there was a traffic jam. I was really, really tired, had a really horrible day, and I was getting really frustrated. I was like just so mad. I couldn't go anywhere. I wanted to get home. I was hungry. I was just sitting in the car and just getting so angry. And I just remember thinking, I have a decision here. I can either get angry or I can do something about it and change me. I can't necessarily change the situation, but I can change myself. So I just put on some praise and worship music. I put on some Marvin Winans, and I just started singing the song. And as I did, I just started praying in tongues. And as I did, I could feel the stress leaving, and I could feel God's peace just coming in to that car, and I was no longer upset about it anymore and felt like the car ride just went a lot faster. I think probably one of the best times I ever used this principle, where I was tempted to do something stupid, was, again, I was working another dead-end job, which I hated. They seem to have a knack for that. And I was having a horrible day. Just terrible. I was really, really angry. I was ticked off. I was on my lunch break. I went to McDonald's, got myself some food. And at this time, I was driving my previous car. And at this time, I'd the front fender was gone. I'd hit a mailbox, and the bumper was gone. And so it was like a busted headlight. I was driving this hoopty. So my car looked really jacked up. So I remember I was pulling out of McDonald's. I was about to pull out of McDonald's, and this car pulled up in front of me. Like, so here's the road. Here's the driveway for McDonald's, and there's a traffic light right here. And traffic had backed up to prevent myself from actually exiting. So this car pulled up right in front of me, and there was these two girls that were in the car, and they were looking at my car, and they were laughing at me hysterically. Just laughing at my car, how horrible the car was. Just like, ah, you driving a hoopty. And I was just... I mean, I just got tempted. I started revving the engine, like, oh, I'm going to, you know, I've got nothing to lose. My car is already jacked up. I can take yours out, you know. Now, don't look at me like that, like I'm crazy, all right? I was mad. I was like, no, I got to stay saved. Come on now, get yourself together. I held myself. But the thought crossed my mind. I felt the temptation. So anyway, I let them pull away. I got in the car. I drove myself home. I lived very close by my workplace, and I ate my lunch very quickly, and I used the last part of my lunch to just pray in the Holy Ghost. And I did, and the Holy Spirit calmed me down. I felt His peace. I felt His joy. I felt re-energized, and I went back to my job and finished out the day. So it's so critical that we do this on a regular basis. It's a time of refreshing. We need to do that. Not just pray in English, which is also good, but praying in the Holy Ghost. There's something really that's amazing about it. Otherwise, we end up like this guy. You don't end up like this guy, you know. This guy, he's run out of a charge on his battery, and he's looking at the phone, he's screaming like, no, you know. And that's exactly what happens to a lot of us. Whenever we're spiritually weak, we're spiritually stressed, our battery is drained, so to speak, we start screaming, we start going crazy. We start acting like this guy. So one of the reasons why the saints are weary and overwhelmed in their walk with God is because they aren't recharging themselves by praying in the Spirit. They're not charging themselves. So I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm not knocking any other methods, I'm not knocking just having prayer. Or just reading the Word. But there is something really amazing and powerful about praying in the Holy Ghost, really getting in the Spirit of God. Because when you're praying in English, and you'll find this also in 1 Corinthians 14 about prophesying, when you're praying in English, your mind is fruitful, and it's good for your spirit too. But you're praying in the Holy Ghost or praying in tongues, it's like a direct line right into your spirit that just charges it up. It just gets things going. And so we really want to do this. So, the benefits of praying in tongues. I'm going to talk about a few benefits of praying in tongues. I've already outlined the first one, which was that it builds your faith. It builds up your faith. Whenever you're like, man, I'm not sure if God can get me through this, you pray in the Holy Ghost, you get stirred up, you get charged up in the Holy Ghost, and all those fears, all those doubts, and all the anxieties, they seem to dissipate. They seem to just go away, and you feel more in tune, and you're more sensitive to the Holy Spirit whenever you pray in the Holy Ghost. And again, just reiterating, Jude chapter 1, verse 20, which is our main text again, which again says, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So in times of weakness, when our faith seems to be trembling and shaky, yes, we want to go to the Word of God. Yes, the Bible does say in Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Praying in the Spirit is taking the Word of God and applying it. You're doing the Word by praying in the Spirit, praying in the Holy Ghost. You're applying the Word, God's will in your life. And so that just kind of emphasizes what the Word has already said about the situation. You pray in tongues, you get release in your spirit regarding that. Number two, it can bring joy and encouragement, which I alluded to earlier. John 14:26 says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. The Bible describes the Holy Ghost as the Comforter. It's there to comfort you, to encourage you, to bless you, to help you along. It's the advocate. It's the helper. And whenever you're praying in the Holy Ghost, you're enabling the Holy Spirit to comfort you whenever you are weary, to encourage you, to charge you up, and it can bring you joy. In Psalm 16:11, I didn't put this in here, but in Psalm 16:11, the Bible says that thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Getting in the Holy Spirit, really getting stirring up the Holy Spirit within you, so to speak, it brings about a joy. It brings about a pleasure, an elation, because you're reconnecting yourself with your Savior and with your God. Another benefit of praying in tongues, And this is actually two that are together. And the reason I had connected them together because they're both described in the same set of verses. 3 and 4. 3 is, it helps us to intercede for others. And it, number 4, it helps us to pray God's perfect will when we don't know how to pray. When we don't know how to pray about a situation, praying in tongues can assist us. I have this all the time. I have people come to me and, you know, they'll say, awesome, what do you want prayer for? Well, I just want God to bless me. Or, you know, just something general. I was like, well, that doesn't really get me very much. You know, what do you want prayer for? Well, nothing in particular. And that's usually what you'll get, is nothing in particular. You know, if that's all you're saying, I want. So in those situations, or sometimes I'm in a situation where, man, I don't even know what to say about this particular circumstance. Usually I can come up with a scripture or something, but there's sometimes you're in a moment of crisis and you're overwhelmed and you don't know what to say. That's where praying in the Holy Ghost can help the situation out. So Romans 8, 26 and 27 describes these two premises right here. Romans 8, 26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. That word infirmities can mean weaknesses, our shortcomings, our inabilities. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And again, we'll talk more about that in the third section, with groanings which cannot be uttered. So this tells you right here, whenever you're in a situation when you don't know, you don't have the words to communicate and express what you need to have done in this situation, praying in tongues will get the job done. The Holy Spirit will give you the words to get the job done. Now look what it says about this, about praying in the Spirit. Verse 27, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. That the Holy Spirit praying in you, praying in tongues, you're praying the direct will of God. The Holy Spirit knows what the will of God is because the Holy Spirit is God. And so by allowing him to inspire you to pray through you, you're praying the perfect will of God, even though you may not even know what the situation is in that circumstance. Really good example of this. This was years ago. I was preaching in my home church back in Benton Harbor, Michigan. I just got done preaching my message. I was doing the altar call. And there was an elderly lady that was sitting in the back. Her name is Sister Betty. God bless her. Wonderful saint of God. And I felt led to go and pray for her. I just felt an impression I should go pray for her. Now, I didn't know anything that was going on with her. I didn't know anything at all. I just felt led to go pray for her. So I went over and about to lay hands. I was like, I don't even know what to pray for. I don't know why I'm praying for this for her. And so I just said, well, I'll just pray in tongues. And so put my hands on her. I prayed in the Spirit. Felt the Spirit really moving through me in that situation. Felt release. Kind of backed off. Went my way. When we had our Sunday night service, she came up to me. Oh, said, oh, Brother Brownie, thank you so much for praying for me. I've been suffering from migraine headaches for 2 weeks. I had no idea. And she said, when I prayed for her, she got healed. Now, I didn't know that. I had no idea about that. But the Holy Ghost knew. And the Holy Ghost gave me the words to say to get the job done. That's what I'm saying. You may be praying for someone, you have no idea what the situation is. But judging from your five senses, they look fine. But you pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit will hit that thing and will get it done. The Holy Spirit, it's like, how do I put it to you this way? You're praying in tongues. It's any of you guys ever gone to Six Flags, anyone? You ever get those passes that I forgot what they're called. Flash pass, thank you. Those flash passes, and it's really cool when you have the flash passes. It's not cool when you don't. Because you're in line. It's about 90 degrees outside. You've been waiting to get on the Batman ride for like an hour. And then some dude comes up with a pass that skips through the entire line and gets right on the ride and then gets off and you're still in line. It's annoying, isn't it? But if you've got the flash pass, oh, it's awesome. I have to wait, you know, 2 hours to get on the Superman ride or get on, you know, this other ride. And that's what the Holy Spirit is like. The Holy Spirit, when you're praying in tongues, it's like that flash pass. Because you're praying about a situation, but because you don't know everything that's going on, you can't really pray effectively. But the Spirit of God does. So then you pray in the Spirit. The Spirit, since the Spirit knows what's going on, it's like a flash pass. It just expedites it, just to the front of the line. Get on the ride. Get it done. When you're praying in the Holy Ghost. So look at all these benefits you get from just praying in tongues. Let's go deeper. So it is the gateway to other gifts. This is something I think that we don't realize. Something I kind of found out a bit in doing this study is that it's a gateway to the other gifts. Let's just use this as an example. So 1 Corinthians 14 verse 5 says, I would that ye all spake with tongues, Paul the apostle speaking, but rather that ye prophesy, for greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except the interpret, that the church may receive edifying. So the thing is this. Whenever you're praying in tongues, and Paul says that prophesying is actually greater than praying in tongues, and I'll explain why that is. Praying in tongues, or prophesying, I should say, is basically praying in tongues with understanding. That's what prophesying is. And if you read through this chapter, you'll find out interpretation of tongues, prophesying, is actually the same thing. Praying in tongues, or I should say prophesying, is when you're praying in tongues with understanding. When you're praying in tongues by yourself, you don't know what you're saying. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in this chapter, it says that when you're praying in the Spirit, my understanding is unfruitful. The reason why that is because when you are praying in tongues, the words are not coming from your mind. It's not coming from your head. It's coming from your spirit. Now, scientists have studied this, and I advise you, go on YouTube, type in speaking in tongues study, ABC News report. Just type that in somewhere. The ABC News did a report on speaking in tongues. They had scientists, doctors, go and get Pentecostals, brought them into their lab, had them put an MRI machine on them, put electrodes on them, and had them pray in tongues and watch what their brains did. And what they found out was very shocking. What they found out is that the areas in the brain where speech was actually got less. There's where that's used to, the where communication originates from, and where words originate from, quit working. But they were speaking. It was really amazing. They were like, what in the world is going on? They're speaking. There's words coming out, but the part of the brain where speech originates from is shutting down. Because it's not coming from their head, it's coming from their spirit. Watch it. It's a really amazing video. If I had time, I would show it in here, but I don't. Sister Mary, you had a comment or question on this. Yep.
Seeing that the word of God said the things of the spirit are of the spirit and the things of the flesh are of the flesh, that is perhaps why the scientists didn't know what was going on, because it was of the spirit, and you have to be in the spirit to know what is happening. That's all.
Right. And in the story, they had a pastor come, they had several ministers, and they had, just several people from this church just come, and they put the electrodes on, and first they had a person pray in English, and then when they was praying in English, they saw all the parts of the brain for speech lighting up. And it's okay, I'm praying in tongues. And they started praying in tongues. And what was really cool is when they interviewed one of the women that was in the study, she said, yeah, I can pray in tongues pretty much any time I want to, but if you give me more time, if I have maybe some worship music on or something, I can get deeper. And then it was so funny watching this because you knew what was going on. For those of us who are in the church, we know what's going on. She was just praying in tongues. Then she put some headphones on, and she was just walking around the lab and kind of praying, just praying to us. All of a sudden, you heard that moment when that part in the song that she liked hit. And all of a sudden, it got deep. And all of a sudden, tears started flowing. She was like, woo, and started going off. Watch the video. It's pretty amazing. She got deeper in the spirit. And they're like, okay, well, But that's what I'm trying to say. So praying in tongues, it opens a gateway. The more you do it, the more sensitive to the spirit you are, and it starts to open up your spirit to operating in the other gifts, such as prophesying, and such as, working of miracles and all the other stuff, because it's building up your faith. It's charging up your spirit to operate in these other gifts. So the more that you do this, the more the other gifts, the nine gifts of the spirit, will start to manifest and reveal themselves. I've noticed that since I've started doing this, I've been having dreams lately. I've been having a lot of, and typically I have dreams like every 2 or 3 months that I can remember. I know scientists say that actually you dream every night. But since I've been doing this, I've been having spiritual dreams. Not just crazy dreams. Like I had a couple months ago, I had a dream that I was in Donald Trump's body and I was stealing police cars and laughing at people as I drove around Milwaukee. Okay. I'm not saying every dream is spiritual, okay? Okay? I'm not saying every dream is spiritual. And don't look at me crazy. Y'all have had some crazy dreams too. I was like, you're fired. Anyway. But I've been having dreams about people I know, and then I'll go talk to those people, and then the things that are happening in the dreams are things that they're going through, that's never happened to me before, okay? I started having these dreams all of a sudden. I've also noticed that since I've been praying in tongues, the devil's tried to attack me more. I don't think I told you guys this, but a few months ago, I was on my way to work. I was driving up, the viaduct on I-94. It was kind of rainy and a little bit slippery. There's some ice in the road. I went up the turnpike, and I remember the roads I thought were good. They were dry. Went to this turnpike here up the viaduct, and I hit a patch of black ice. And I was doing about 65 or so going up this turn, okay? I swerve completely to the... Now, I was praying in tongues when this was happening. I was already praying in tongues. I started praying a little harder. And then I went in English like, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Like, you know. Because, I mean, I was in about 65. I went completely to the right, fishtail to the right, fishtail to the left, did a 180, and then went right into the wall on this bridge, doing about 60 miles an hour, all right? Praying in tongues. When I sat there for a minute, I was completely facing the opposite direction of traffic when this happened, all right? And I didn't hit any cars, okay? That was one other thing. It was amazing, like, the traffic kind of cleared when I went up the divide. It was really busy when I was on this part of the road. When I went on this little split on the bridge, traffic cleared, and this other car was there, and I missed the other car when I went from one side of the highway to the other, crossed about three lanes of traffic, and hit the wall going about 60 miles an hour. And I sat there for a minute just like, what just happened? You're like, you know? And I wanted to get out of the car to look at it because, you know, of course, I don't want to drive no buses up Hoopty like I did before, you know, so, but I was like, no, I need to get myself together. So I tried to pull out again. I wanted to get moving before traffic came because I was facing the opposite direction of traffic. When I came up the hill of the viaduct, there are about eight other accidents at the top of that hill. I mean, where their cars were completely smashed in. When I got to work, I got out of the car. There was not a scratch on my car, not one. And I hit the wall going 60-something miles an hour, praying in tongues. That I think I told you about when I got a flat tire also. I was coming home from work, and I was doing about 75 miles an hour, and the thing just blew, and I managed to avoid getting an accident. I was praying in tongues then, too. This is not my testimony. Last story, I'll say this, I better move on. But Curry Blake, which is where I got this study from, he was talking about all the times where amazing miracles happened when he was praying in tongues. He was driving with his wife and his three kids in the back of the car. They're coming home from church. This is in Texas. It was late at night, and they're coming down the road and doing about, you know, 55, 60 miles an hour in this old country road. And they suddenly felt an urge, we should pray in tongues. So him and his wife started praying in tongues. The kids were asleep at the back of the car. And as they're praying in tongues, they're praying for about 5 minutes, also they saw a herd of cows all over the road. I mean, all over. The whole road was covered with cows, and the cows were laying down in the street. The reason why they were doing that is because during the day, the street was warm. It got cold at night, so they like to lay on the street where it still had its heat. So all these cows, a whole herd of cattle laying on the street, there was nowhere for them to go, all right? Nowhere for them to go at all. There's fences on one side, fences on the other side. There's no way. So all they could do was pray in tongues. And then they said they're praying in tongues. They see the cows. Next thing they know, they're on the other side, and they have not hit any cows. They have no idea how they got from point A to point B at all. They stop the car. They look out. They still see all the cows not having moved at all, and they got through all the cows. They said they don't understand what happened. Like, they were there, and all of a sudden, they weren't there. They looked at each other, got out of the car, looked at the car, looked at the cows, then started praying in tongues really hard and dancing in the street. I'm just telling you, praying in tongues it can save your life, and I honestly believe that it did, and it could also be that the devil doesn't like it, so he's attacking you. So just be aware of that. So I can tell you from firsthand, since I've started doing this about a couple months ago, things have been happening to me that have not happened before. So I've started to make an effort to pray in tongues more often. I try to at least pray in tongues at least 30 minutes a day, at least. And the more that you do it, I've heard pray some 3 hours a day. But those people that pray 3 hours a day in tongues, they have the most miraculous ministries that are out there. They're seeing the most miracles. Why? Because their spirit's charged up. They're charged up. The Holy Spirit's able to flow through them to get the job done. Let's keep going. So number six, it can bring revelation, direction, and guidance. It can bring revelation, direction, and guidance. John 16:13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. I've tested this as well. I've noticed that whenever I've been really struggling with something or I didn't know what to do, I'd pray in tongues, and as I'm praying in tongues, that's when God would really start speaking to me because I'm stirring him up within me. Some of the best sermons I've ever preached were discovered as I was praying in tongues. I didn't know what I was going to preach. I've been studying all week, reading scripture after scripture, getting nowhere. I spent about 5-10 minutes praying in tongues, and suddenly revelation started hitting me. Because why? Because he's the teacher. He will guide you into all truth. Revelation will hit you. Now, here's something else. Now, remember what I pointed out earlier about the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul said, I thank my God I pray in tongues more than all of you guys. Let me ask you something. Let me just point this out, all right? Who wrote most of the New Testament? Apostle Paul did. Interesting. And he said that he prayed in tongues more than everyone else. He said he prayed in tongues more than the other apostles. And he had the most revelation. You don't see some of the revelations that Paul had, you don't find them in the other epistles. You don't find them in the Gospels. It was Paul's revelation. Paul had the most revelation. Paul also seemed to have the most energy. He would never get tired. He would wear out. John Mark came with him. He abandoned him because he'd get worn out. He was wearing people out. Why? He was constantly praying in tongues. He was constantly being refreshed. He never would quit. Just saying. I think it's very interesting that he made the statement. He prayed in tongues more than anyone else. He had the most revelation and had the most get up and go. Think about that. Like, seriously, you'll start seeing breakthrough in areas in your life when you start doing this. I've already seen a change in mine just from doing it since I listened to this study and I've really been going through it. It is a sign to unbelievers and it convinces them to believe. It's a typo there, sorry about that. 1 Corinthians 14:22, wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serve not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. Okay, this is not my testimony, but I thought it was pretty cool. There was a woman who was from Japan. She was a Buddhist. She was married to a Christian, and she went to the church for one of the first times, and seeing all these people praying in tongues and so on. And she went to the altar, and she began, praying to Buddha, because that's what she was trained to do. And there was a woman that was kneeling down next to her, and she was praying in tongues. And suddenly her prayer language changed to classical Japanese. And when she started praying, and she started saying in classical Japanese, she didn't realize, the one that was kneeling down there didn't even realize that she was actually talking to the Japanese woman sitting next to her. Started praying in classical Japanese, "You've tried Buddha, now try me. I am Jesus, I am God." She started saying that in Japanese. I was like, what? It's like, "You've tried Buddha, now try me." It's like, "I'm Jesus, I'm God." And after she got done, the altar call got done, she went over and started talking in Japanese. She's like, "I don't know what you're talking about." She was confused by this, and then she's like, "Wow, this is amazing." Another story of, there's a woman that was in, I think, a Spanish-speaking country, and she was just praying in tongues. She was at a church service, she was praying in tongues. And she didn't realize it, but she was praying in Spanish, and all of a sudden people started lining up right in front of her. She's like, "Why are you guys here?" It's like, the person said, "Well, you told us to come here and line up for us because you said you're going to pray for us to be healed and stuff." And so she's like, okay. So she started doing that, and people started getting delivered. She didn't even realize the Holy Spirit was calling them for them to be ministered to. And there's all sorts of things like this that happen. Did you know that in old Pentecost, the old time Pentecost, back when Azusa Street, people believed that whenever you prayed in tongues, the language that you spoke represented the country that you were commissioned to go preach the gospel to. Because the Bible says that, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be my witnesses," right? To the whole world, to Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. They believe when you got the Holy Ghost, it gave you the power to become a witness, and that language was given to you to go and preach the gospel to that particular country. That's the way that, so when you got the Holy Ghost, they'd try and figure out what language you were speaking, find out the country, and then they'd send you there. That kind of weeded out the people that were faking it. Now, they later discovered that not every language is earthly. The Bible talks about tongues of men and of angels. And so there were some errors that were there, because sometimes the person was not speaking an earthly language. They got sent to a country, they couldn't speak the language, and then they were in trouble. However, though, that there were quite a few examples where people were actually speaking a earthly language, and they found out the country they were going to, and they could go and preach the gospel to them, and they'd start praying in tongues, and they'd preach whole sermons just praying in tongues to people that were there, and people were getting saved. I'm telling you, man, this is real. This is what, do you understand? We have the helper that's inside of us that can get the job done. And because we don't do this a lot, we're really limiting ourselves. We're cutting ourselves short. Acts chapter 2, verse 4. And this is the primary example of this, all right? The day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 2, verses 4 through 11 says, "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born, Parthians and Medes and Elamites, and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia and Phrygia and Pamphylia in Egypt, and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. What caused the day of Pentecost to be so successful? Because the Holy Spirit was using them to prophesy and to preach to them in their own languages. That's what's in you. That's what's in you. And I've seen it done before. I can remember praying at my home church, and this brother next to me, I could hear him. I didn't know the language. I couldn't interpret it, but I could recognize what the language sounded like. He started speaking fluent German. I've heard people speak fluent Chinese or speaking other fluent languages that were other, because the Holy Ghost is trying to commission them perhaps to a ministry or even to be a missionary somewhere. So let's kind of just review the benefits, okay? This is what we covered. That praying in tongues builds your faith. The Spirit is strengthened and recharged when we do this. Can bring joy and encouragement. Helps us to intercede for others. Helps us to pray God's perfect will, or gives us words when we don't know what to pray. It is the gateway to other spiritual gifts. It can bring revelation, direction, and guidance. It's a sign to unbelievers. I mean, wow, that's a lot of benefits just from doing this on a regular basis. And the more that you do it, the better you get at it, and the more stuff starts happening. Oh, yeah, it can be used to preach to other nations. Forgot to add that in there. It can also be used to preach to other nations. Wonderful benefits that are there, just praying in the Holy Ghost. Okay, section number 2. Actually, we're not doing too bad today. Yeah, I stuttered. So, here's the thing. Considering the many benefits of the practice, why don't believers pray in tongues more often? Why don't believers pray in tongues more often? Let's go over some reasons why that people don't really do this very often. Why we don't use tongues. Number one, we've been taught it's not necessary, or it's just when we get saved. I know of people, good Christians, good God-loving people, but they have not prayed in tongues since they got the Holy Ghost. And that was some 30, 40 years ago. Why? Because they were taught it wasn't necessary. It was taught only just when you get it, and that's it. It was just a sign for you receiving the Holy Ghost, but that's all it served as. And so because they were taught that, they didn't think it was necessary, so they didn't really pursue it any further. So bad teaching is one. Sister Stephanie, you had a comment or a question on this. You want to come to the mic so we can get on the recording? Come on down. The price is right.
Okay, so you're saying, when they don't feel that it's necessary after they get the Holy Ghost, okay, would you think that, okay, after all that time of not praying in tongues, say if they've been saved for a really, really long time, do you think that they would, not remember how they spoke in tongues?
Well, them remembering really doesn't matter because, as I said before, it's not coming from your mind or your head. It's coming from your spirit. And when you receive the Holy Ghost, as I've spoken on before, even in the New Man teaching, the Holy Ghost abides with you forever. It doesn't. People talk about, well, you lost the Holy Ghost. No, you didn't. When you were baptized with the Holy Ghost, which means to be saturated with Him, you became one with Him. He doesn't abandon you or leave you. He's still there. He's just asleep because you are buried or being suppressed because you've not stirred Him up. You've not woken Him up. You know. So, Sister Johnny, to comment on this.
I tell you, I've learned now that because the Holy Ghost is of God, I've seen now where the devil has tried to use that and tell Christians that you do that too much. You don't have to do that. And now you have other Christians telling other Christians that that's not really necessary. You don't have to speak in tongues all the time. You don't have to pray in tongues, you know. So it's a mechanism that's from the devil to actually try to stop it.
Oh, yes, huge. What she just said there was huge. I'm not sure if you guys caught that. One of the biggest things the devil's trying to stop is speaking in tongues. Because it's such a powerful tool, because it empowers the believer to operate in the gifts of the Spirit, empowers the believer to get answers and direction from God. It's one of the big. That's why there's been such a huge movement to say, well, speaking in tongues is of the devil. They'll say that, or it died off with the apostles. They'll all come with all these different crazy teachings to try and remove this and make it unnecessary. And the devil's just doing that. Doctrines of demons, the Bible says, will happen in the last days. Teachings of men, trying to undermine that. And he doesn't want you to do this because if you start doing this, you're going to start becoming dangerous, all right? Because the thing is, a lot of Christians, their battery's at maybe 30, 40%. You start doing this and you get fully charged up, fully stirred up in the spirit, oh, you're going to be dangerous. You're going to be forced to be reckoned with and start operating. Imagine if every believer was able to tap into all the 9 gifts of the Spirit. Think about that. Because the thing is, if you have the Holy Spirit, technically, you have all the gifts. It's all there. It's all one spirit. And so the more you do this, the more sensitive you're becoming to the Holy Spirit, and He's able to flow through you easier. So if we start doing this, we're going to start seeing more manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit. That's why Sister Johnny just said, that's why the devil's trying to stop it. Because that makes the church very, very dangerous to him. So one, we've been taught that it's not necessary, it's just when we get saved. We don't see the functionality of it or the purpose of it, so people just quit doing it. You know, it's like, well, this is nonsense, you know. Number two, wrong believing or a lack of submission or release and control. Another reason why people don't do it. So some people, their belief in regards to God is messed up because of the bad teaching. And so because of that, they don't pray in tongues, or that they have trouble praying in tongues or getting really deep or fluent in praying in the Spirit. I know an example, you know, Brother Andrew Womack is a great Bible teacher, that because of his upbringing, he was taught that praying in tongues was of the devil. So when he started to become familiar with the Holy Spirit, he didn't do it for years. Just didn't even mess around with it, you know, because he thought he was taught as the devil. It wasn't until he started to study the Word of God for himself that he finally realized, oh, no, this is for me. This is of God. And then once that belief system was fixed, he began praying in tongues fluently. So now this also can be, as I said, a lack of submission or releasing of control. Sometimes people, they struggle in their praying in tongues. They can do it, but it's not really fluent. Doesn't really flow out of them very well because there's an area in their life that's not fully submitted unto God, and they're struggling, and they need to get release. And sometimes they don't do it because they don't want to look stupid. They feel embarrassed, and so they the Bible tells us to quench not the Spirit, and you can do that. People think that the Holy Ghost, when it comes, it just hijacks you, just kicks you over out of the seat, takes over the steering wheel, like, I'm driving this car now. You know what I'm saying? And Brian, I haven't forgot about you. You want to ask your question. And that's not true. You have a control over this. The Bible talks about in 1 Corinthians 14 that the Spirit of the prophet is subject unto the prophet. All right? The Holy Ghost doesn't hijack you and make you do this and make you do that. You have to choose and allow him to flow through you. So I think actually, Pastor, I think you had an issue with this. I remember you talking about this, that you used to say that you didn't want to pray in tongues unless God was like making you or forcing you to do it, if I remember correctly. Is that right, Pastor? And it wasn't until I think you were in your teenage years that you were kind of going through something that you weren't even praying about the Holy Ghost, but you just finally got serious with God, like, okay, God, I need you now. And when he did that, and he fully gave control and release over to God, he began praying in tongues automatically. If you're struggling in this area to really get into that flow, it's kind of like a stammer or just a stutter, or it's just like you're kind of at the tip of the iceberg. Search your heart. Is there something in my area, an area in my life where I'm not fully submitted unto God, or I'm not allowing God to flow through me? Brother Brian, you had a comment or question on this.
Tasha got a question. Tasha said, what if somebody tells you don't believe in God?
What if someone tells you don't believe in God? Well, ignore them. The thing is, your belief in God is based on several things. One, it's based on the Word of God. Two, it's also based on your experience with that Word of God. You know, they can tell you, well, you can't have the Holy Ghost of the devil. It's too late. I already got it. I've already experienced it. You know, went there, bought the postcard, came back. It's already, you know, you can't do this. I've already done it. So when people say, well, don't believe in God, you have plenty of evidence to show that you should believe in God. You know, that's the whole point of the whole salvation experience. So, again, wrong believing, lack of submission. If you're struggling in areas in praying in tongues, there could be an area where your heart is not fully committed over to God. There could be an area where maybe you're struggling with sin or struggling with a weakness, and you might be feeling guilty or condemned or judged. And because of that condemnation, that judgment, you're not believing completely in Christ's justification of you, which does not allow him to fully move in you and to save you, which is why the Bible says, he that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. When you're believing properly, the Holy Spirit will flow right through you. He'll flow right out of you. Number three, we only do it when we are in an emotional state. I kind of want to comment on this. This is something that I kind of struggled with for a bit, and I didn't even realize it. Now, during my teenage years, I developed a system on how to pray in tongues, all right? But I could only really do it unless I was in this, like, you know, when you first get the Holy Ghost, you're like, ah, you know, that deepness. I had a system, and I was really good at it. I was really good. It took a while sometimes. I had a process that I'd go through that would get me to a place where I'd pray in tongues. And I'd say I could still use it today because it is good for getting into like a really deep, getting really immersed in the Spirit, but it takes a while to get there. doing that. But people could only pray in tongues when they're like really worked up in this emotional state. And the Holy Spirit isn't necessarily an emotional thing. It can produce emotions and it can have an emotional reaction, but it's spiritual. It's not in the soulish realm or just in your emotions or feelings, all right? So now because that, they're only able to somewhat tap into the Spirit when their feelings are there, they don't do it as much. And so what happens when you're in a bad mood? Then you can't really pray in the Spirit, you know what I'm saying? So you have to learn how to tap in the Spirit without being emotional necessarily, like getting into like working yourself and crying and so on and like, you know, all that stuff. It should be something you should be able to flip on like a switch. And now, it took me a while to figure this out. So I'm not, when I say this, I'm not, please understand me, I'm not mocking or making fun of anybody, all right? Because I was the same way. And it took me a while before I realized that I could just flip the switch. And it took me a while to find where the switch was. I'll tell you one of the things that stopped me from actually flipping the switch was fear that I was faking it, or fear that I was committing some sort of blasphemy. You know, I don't want to just pretend like I'm praying in tongues. I don't want to, you know, I want to be sure it's the real deal. So I was kind of like Pastor was, and I wanted to make sure that it was genuine. So I would go through this process to make sure that it was genuine, wait till I really felt like this, yeah, you know, kind of type of thing, before I would release him and allow him to pray through me. All right, so it was fear that stopped me, because I used to think, well, what if I'm faking it? I don't want to, you know, just try and making up gibberish and all this other stuff. I want to be sure it's real. So once I realized that I could tap into him and I can release him anytime I want to, I began doing it on a more regular basis. I didn't have to be in this really overwhelming emotional state where I'm lying on the floor type of thing. Then I could do it on a regular basis. Brother Malcolm.
I was just going to comment on what you were saying about faking. And believe it or not, that was actually one of my big things before I got the Holy Ghost, was like that confirmation, you know, like, God, I don't want to be faking this. Like, you got to levitate me, or you got to, you know, you got to do this, or you got to do that. And I remember after, you know, just this whole excitement, and I know it was a lot of members at the church that went to this this tent meeting or whatever we had on the south side.
Yeah.
And I think what overwhelmed me was the fact that, you know, everybody's expecting you to get this Holy Ghost and, you know, this and that. And so I'm just like, oh, okay, I got it. But then I thought about it, and I was like, well, I don't feel like I got it. Like, mm-hmm. You know, and the devil was, you know, really attacking me with it. And, you know, so it caused me to fall back into old habits and things like that. And then I remember when I came to, you know, the church, it was like, I came to a realization that God had actually forgiven me. And it, like you said, it wasn't something that you had to think about doing. It just happened. Like, you know, it came itself. It was an overwhelming feeling, and it came itself. I didn't have the words. He had the words.
Amen. Amen. So I want you to understand that you don't allow fear to control you in this regard. Now, one of the things that I heard, again, Corey Blake say about this is, if you really want to test to see if you're faking it or not, try reading something while you're praying in tongues. You're like, how does that have anything to do with it? If it's coming from your head, then you won't be able to read and say something contrary out loud. But if it's coming from your spirit and your head's not involved, then the words will still come and you could read a book. Because it's not your mind, right? It's your spirit that's doing it. So I actually did that test, and I found out that it worked. I was driving down the highway, because that's usually when I do my praying when I'm driving to work. I started just reading billboards and reading other stuff as I was praying in tongues. I was like, yeah, because it's not my brain. It's not coming from my head. It's coming from my spirit. So that's one of the things that you can, if you really want to do a test to kind of throw yourself out there, that's one of the things that you could do. I will just also say that knowing you have the Holy Ghost is like knowing if you're in love. You just know, you know. I know that sounds kind of corny, but it's just true. You just know that you got it. So we want to try and get to a point where we can do it when we're not necessarily in an emotional state. Now, don't get me wrong. I love praying in the emotional state. I love just being overwhelmed, like, yes, you know. I love doing that. I love getting that. But you can get there a lot faster if you just pray even in the non-emotional state of praying in tongues. Now, my mentor, the person I really looked up to as far as praying in the Spirit, is my prayer partner even to this day. Is a lady by the name of Sister Pat Bryant. She's from my home church back in Michigan. She was my prayer partner since I was 12 years old. I was 12 years old. I used to come to church for prayer meeting or for prayer before service. I would get right up to her, and Natasha, I'll get you in just a minute, and I would just listen to her pray. And man, she'd just be going at it. And this woman, she just walked in the Spirit. I mean, I remember one time I came to church a little bit early to pray. She was just in the park, just praying in tongues. She was just always praying in tongues, like not emotional, just picking up some books over here, just praying in tongues. Like, how is she doing this? Because I only knew the emotional state. But she just did it like it was normal, like it was natural. And so I remember from age 12, I just became her prayer partner. I just stuck to her like glue. And I noticed that pretty much out of anyone in the church, she flowed in the gifts of the Spirit like nobody's, but she was a prophetess. She could look at you and just say, thus saith the Lord, and just tell you what you did last Thursday. You were sitting at this park. You were reading this book. I mean, that type of stuff. Legit prophetess, okay? She would give prophecies in tongues. She had a gift of discernment. She flowed in the gifts of the Spirit. And now I understand why, because she was constantly doing this. She was constantly doing this. And like, even in my worst times, she could just sense it and then tell me exactly the right thing to say. I'll never forget this. And then I'll move on because I'm spending too much time on this. But I'll never forget this. This is before I met my wife, and I was really kind of depressed. I was feeling lonely. Had one of my, we've all had those days. I went to Lake Michigan. They had this thing called the Venetian Festival back in my hometown in Michigan. Kind of like what's it called here? Summerfest here. And they had the fireworks, and I was standing on the beach and looking at all these couples, and they were just snuggling with each other, watching the fireworks going up. And I was just standing there all by myself, just like, oh. Moons out, stars, fireworks. I'm just like, there with each other, there with those, like. So I was feeling really just down. And I remember I walked into church Sunday. I walked into church. Sister Pat had already beat me there. She's in the prayer room. She was just praying. And I opened the door. She just goes like this. Didn't turn her back or anything. Just went like this and said, come here. I was like, how does she do this, I kneeled down. I grabbed her hand. She just told me. She's like, and we started praying. And also I felt the Holy Ghost like comforting me. And she said, the woman that you're going to marry, your wife, will pray in the Spirit with you like I do. I was like, how did she know I was feeling it? It's praying in the Spirit. She just knew. That was exactly what I needed to hear at that moment. It was just absolutely amazing. So, again, what I want to say is this, that we need to learn to pray in the Spirit more regularly. It becomes a normal thing to us. When you do that, the other stuff starts happening. Okay, I got to move. We were never taught how. We never taught how to pray in the Spirit. We never taught how to do this on a regular basis. And I kind of just learned by really just watching her and also watching my parents. I can remember really getting up in the morning and hearing my parents praying in tongues in the morning. Before we go to school, we'd always have prayer together. They'd bring us in a circle. They'd pray with us. I watched their example and kind of just figured it out. It's all demonstrated. But we weren't really taught how to pray in tongues. And I'm going to give you some tips and things I've learned over the years how to do this. Five, again, as I said before, we feel stupid or self-conscious about it. You ever pray in tongues and start listening to yourself? Yeah. It's like, man, what am I saying? I sound crazy. I sound like a madman or something. I remember I was driving home from work just recently. I just started listening to myself. I was like, I remember thinking, like, what language am I speaking? And I started listening to myself. I sounded like I was speaking Russian or some sort of Yugoslavic language. I was like, this is weird. Sometimes I just do it. I don't think about it, And so I started listening to myself. I was like, man, I sound kind of crazy. But no, we got to get out of this feeling stupid, self-conscious thing, okay? Get out of that, all right? It's of God, it's of the Lord. Be confident in God, be confident in what you're doing, okay? We got to get out of that type of thing. One of the other things I want to say about praying in tongues, because your mind is not involved in it, it's very easy for your mind to wander off, all right? I noticed this, as I was praying in tongues, since my mind is not engaged, because my spirit's doing all of it, my mind starts thinking about, man, what do we got to do? Just wander off on weird things. I'm still, praying in tongues, so I'm like, I got to focus, focus on God, Because my mind's not engaged. I'm just praying in tongues. All right, I got to get Latasha because I skipped over her a long time ago. I'm sorry, Latasha. Now I got you, Stephanie.
My question was, what if somebody tell you that you don't got the Holy Ghost?
Okay. Well, here's the thing. Here's some things that can help you to figure out whether or not you got the Holy Ghost. One, the praying in tongues thing is one. But two, the best sign to know whether or not you had the Spirit is the fruit. The fruit. Jesus said in Matthew 7, by their fruits ye shall know them. So if you're producing the fruit, which is the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, verses 22 through 23, is love, joy, goodness, peace, temperance, meekness, long-suffering, faith, If you're producing that fruit, then you have a pretty good idea that you have the Holy Ghost, because that only comes from the Holy Spirit. Those would be two things to really look out for, all right? So if someone tells you that, you need to have the courage and the confidence. I was like, yeah, I do. If I were to come to you, Latasha, and say, your name isn't Latasha, your name is Brittany. You look at me like I'm crazy, right? You look at me stupid. Like, no, your name is Latasha, your name is Brittany. Now, could I convince you that your name isn't Latasha? No. I could have charts say, no, your name isn't Latasha, your name is Brittany. You look at me like I'm stupid. You are so sure that your name is Latasha that I couldn't say a thing to convince you. You need to get to that place in relation to your salvation with God. No matter what the devil throws at me, well, you're this and this, there is therefore now no condemnation than in Christ Jesus, than that walking after the flesh and after the spirit. You need to have the word inside of you that says, no, you're a liar. You're an idiot. Like, I know what my name is. My name is written in heaven. My name is Jesus Christ. That's my last name. I got that when I got baptized, right? Amen. Right? So just as you're sure as your name is Latasha, you should be sure your last name is Jesus Christ. That's the place you want to get to. Sister Stephanie, go ahead.
Okay, what do you say about, like, a person that got the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues, like, their tongues changing or adding on to it, like, more adding on to it? What do you say about that?
I'd say that they're developing. I can remember distinctly times where my language changed. And usually it was in time when I was really going at it. I mean, it's really praying hard. I remember there was, again, back in Michigan when I was a teenager, there was a girl in a youth group. Her dad was unsaved. They'd been trying to get him to come to church for a long time. And he finally got him to come to church, and he came to the altar. And we were just praying that he would just give his life to Christ and get the Holy Ghost. And I remember in that moment, I was just in intercession praying. I was walking up and down the altar, and I felt like a pressure in my stomach, like something in me, like, it was like, as if punching felt good. That's the best way I could describe it. It was like, oh, like, yeah. And I felt like, also I felt this pressure, and I felt myself tapping deeper, and my language change into something else as I was in intercession for him. So that's the way I could describe it. I could say it's growth. And also, yeah, that God may give you a different language to pray about different situations. I've noticed that myself. Sometimes I found myself praying, and I'm listening to myself. It almost sounds like I'm speaking Hebrew some of the Semitic languages I've heard myself sometimes changing into when I'm getting really deep into prayer. So as it's changing, it could be that you're just tapping into different parts of the Spirit, or that you're dealing with a different situation that requires a different language to deal with the situation. There have been times I've been praying in the Spirit, and you guys can attest to this. There's something I'm praying, and all I can do is just cry like a baby. This really happens a lot to me when I'm on the piano during prayer, and I'm just in my little worship mode. I just hit also like, you know, we'll be playing like, you are Alpha and you're Omega, and those words just hit me. It's like, oh my God, you're so amazing. And also I just start like, cry, you know, Niagara Falls. Then there are other times when I'm praying and I'm angry. You know, when I got the news that my sister might be going blind, well, no Niagara Falls here. I was like, you know, I just started like, it's angry, it's warfare tongues. So it depends on the situation that you're in and how the Spirit's moving you to pray. It may manifest differently. And listen, I'm sorry to keep you on hold. This has only happened to me a few times, but I wish it could happen to me again. I call it the laughing spirit. Has anyone ever had that before? There's happened times where I got so drunk in the Holy Ghost, I was praying in tongues, and all I could do was laugh. I mean, I laughed so hard. I laughed for hours. Actually, there's a photograph of this. I was about 11 or 12 years old when this happened to me. I was rolling on the floor, laughing hysterically. The joy of the Lord is your strength. I remember this other sister, she got anointed. She started shouting and dancing with her heels, stepped all over my arm. It hurt, but I thought that was funny. And I remember I was laughing at the devil. He was like, you're a fool. Like, what are you doing? Trying to come at me? Like, I mean, I just remember for hours laughing, could not stop laughing, rolling on the floor. Just the joy of the Lord was so overwhelming. I got so deep into it. It's been a while since I've gotten into that type of manifestation. But it depends on what the situation needs. Again, the Holy Spirit knows, and so will manifest differently to handle that situation. Sister Melissa.
Is it always better to speak in tongues or over English, or is a combo always ideal, or is there never a formula?
Well, I'll say this. It depends on the situation. The scripture says that prophesying is better than speaking other tongues, all right? So prophesying, and this is where a lot of us miss it, okay? And this is something I'm still studying and learning how to do. I've been able to do it a few times, but I haven't quite mastered it yet, is interpreting your tongues. Interpreting your tongues is prophesying. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14, greater is he that prophesied than he that just speak in an unknown tongue. Now I'll tell you why, all right? Prophesying not only benefits your spirit, but it benefits your understanding as well. So not only are you getting stronger, but you're learning something at the same time. Also, prophesying, if you read in 1 Corinthians 14, it says that the messages that you're getting aren't just for you, but it's for the whole church, and the whole church is built up for it. We've had it here before. Holy Spirit's moving, the service stops, someone gets up, starts praying in tongues loudly, then someone gives the interpretation. That's prophesying. And the whole church is built up and edified by that message that God has given directly. So it's based upon the situation that you're in. So I would say, whenever you're praying in tongues, the Bible, Paul tells you, try and get to a place where you're interpreting and prophesying. All right. Now, I've only been able to do it a few times. This is a new feature I'm still working on. I'm still weak in. But I've heard so many testimonies about people who have done this, where they've gotten, I mean, again, revelation or just answers to questions they've been seeking for a long time whenever they did this, or God was revealing them plans. Because the Bible says when you're praying in tongues, the Bible says, howbeit you speak mysteries. You're speaking revelation. The mysteries of the cosmos are coming out of you. You don't even realize what you're saying. So the Bible says we should covet earnestly the best gifts and to prophesy. Sister Stephanie.
Okay, since she's saying that, how do we learn how to interpret what we're saying, like prophesy?
That's what I'm working on. And so what I'm working on is this, is just praying in tongues for a little bit and then try praying in English and see what comes out of me. Because that inspiration is still there of me praying the words that I've been praying. So that's what I've been doing. A couple times I've gotten some interesting things that have come out of me. Now this is an area, like I said, I'm still developing. But the thing is, the more that you pray in tongues, the more the other gifts will start to manifest. And I'm about to cover that, actually. Yep, and this part of the lesson. So let's get to it. So how do we pray in tongues more often and effectively? Here's some tips. 2 Timothy 1:6 says this, wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee, by the putting on of my hands. God wants you to stir up the gift. Stir it up, like you have a pot that has some sediments in it. You stir it up, it mixes things, it brings everything to the surface. The Bible tells us to stir it up. Now, how do we do this stirring? Here's what I like to call tongue tips. A little play on words there. Tongue tips. Here's some tips that kind of help you get to that place of praying in tongues. Number one, practice in private. If you feel self-conscious and stupid about praying in tongues in a service, like, I don't want them hearing me, like, you know, I don't want them to hear me saying all that. Do it in private. And actually, that's what the Bible says your tongues are for, private edification. Whenever you're praying in tongues, the Bible said that he that speaketh in the unknown tongue, 1 Corinthians 14:2, speaketh not unto men, but unto God. It's his private language to God. So do it in private. So that way you remove all the self-conscious stuff away, you know. You don't feel self-conscious singing in the shower by yourself or singing in the car, you know. I was driving home from Meijer yesterday from getting some groceries, and we pulled up at a traffic light, my wife and I. This guy pulled up in his SUV, and he was just getting turned up, man, and just like, yeah. Now, I don't know what he was singing or rapping about, but he did not care. I looked dead at him. He just like. So do the same with praying in tongues. Do the same with praying in tongues. So Hebrews 5:12, read through verse 14. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Paul is talking about Christians that are babies, and he's going to talk about how you get to becoming more mature. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The Holy Spirit's like a muscle. And the more that you use the muscle, you exercise the muscle, the stronger it gets, all right? So the more you pray in tongues, the stronger it will get, the more it will begin to manifest in these other areas. You know, before you could only lift 50 pounds. Now you can bench press 250, you know, because you've been doing it more. So the more you do it, the more you exercise it. And again, if you want to practice it, do it in private. Exercise it. And then these other things will start to happen and start to manifest. Yes, Brother Anthony, what do you think?
Okay, what if you, like, you stir it up and you start, you know, speaking in tongues for, like, 30 minutes and you just can't stop? Like, how do you stop?
Oh, you can stop. You can stop because you have the control of it. The Bible wouldn't say quench not the Spirit unless you had the ability to quench the Spirit. So you can stop. Now, the thing is, you may not want to stop. And there have been times I've been praying in the Spirit where I don't want to stop. This feels too good, you know. It's easier to keep going than to stop. I didn't want to stop. I just keep going. So you can always stop. You can always stop at any time. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you, I'm running out of time. I've been trying to keep my stuff short, and I purposely meant cut off some stuff to try and keep this short so I wouldn't go past my time. But you guys keep pulling stuff out of me. I'll never forget, I was teaching at Early View, my school, and there was a young lady, her name is Tatiana, just a wonderful child of God. There's definitely the anointing for ministry in her. And she was talking with one of the other students there, and Tatiana is just on fire for God, this young lady, just absolutely on fire for God. And she wanted one of the other students to get the Holy Ghost. So she's at school. She's like, you want the Holy Ghost? She's like, yeah, I want the Holy Ghost. Like, well, let's go in the bathroom. Let's get it. So she just took her in the bathroom and started praying there to get the Holy Ghost in the bathroom. And Tatiana got so stirred up that she said she just became overwhelmed. It's like she was just praying in tongues like crazy. And just she was in that emotional state. And she said she couldn't stop. And then and once you got into that state, all of a sudden, all the gifts started manifesting in her. I remember this very clearly. During the day, she began prophesying to the whole student body. Like someone would touch her, and she said she could see exactly what's going on. She's like, you're going through this, and God wants you to do this. Like, dude, get out of my head. Like, you know, stop that. And students started crying. She just started operating the gifts. She just got so deep into it. She's like, I don't know how to quit this. And so she came to me. She's just she was still kind of praying in tongues, like, how do I stop this? I was like, oh, you can stop this anytime, all right? You know, the Holy Ghost isn't hijacked. You're loving it too much. You don't want to stop. That's what the truth is. I said, the scripture said in Psalm 46, verse 10, be still and know that I am God. Speak to your spirit, command it to be still, and just reside and rest in the Spirit of God. And she did that, and then she stopped. And she's like, whoa. I was like, you can control this. You have control over it, all right? The Holy Spirit's not hijacking you. You control. You're the one that's controlling the flow. So I remember that it was a really wonderful day because that whole day she was just ministering to the whole student body. I mean, she was only about 16 years old at the time, and she was discerning the spirit. So it's like, you're dealing with this. You're struggling with suicide, and God wants you to live. And she's like, you know, you're struggling with depression, and you're struggling with insecurity. I mean, she just started prophesying to the whole student body, and then she started healing people too. I remember this one girl had a headache. She's like, I prayed for the girl, and I couldn't even get her healed. She went and touched her and got her healed like that. I mean, she was just in a flow. So, I mean, you can control it. You just have to exercise it. It takes practice. It takes practice. Okay. Singing praise and worship. Ephesians 5:18 through 19. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You really want to stir the Spirit, start singing some worship songs, spiritual songs, songs that really glorify God. So often I have prayer music going on whenever I pray. I have certain music on, depending on what kind of mood I'm in also, and also what I'm going after. If I'm going after, like to beat the devil down, I have a folder of music that's just called the devil rebuking stomping music, you know. That's my warfare music. I have my warfare music. I have my deep, intimate, like, on the floor laying prostrate music. I have my shouting music. I have my, you know, I have the different ones that I have to, you know, depending on how I feel the Spirit's moving me to pray, all right? Now, one of the cool things about Sunday we had, did you notice we had altar call? We didn't have any music at all. Did you notice that? And we shouted the house down. We don't need no music, as they say. Don't need any music. And I have actually tried this as well. You don't want to be too dependent on atmospheres and music, okay? Jesus didn't have a worship band going with him whenever he went to go heal people. He didn't have heal songs right there. Like, okay, man, get the tune right. I'm about to raise this dude from the dead, okay? Don't mess me up now. Put me in E flat, you know. Yes. He didn't have a worship band going with him to go minister, all right? He wasn't dependent on atmospheres or anything. He was dependent on the Spirit that was within him. So don't get too dependent on, well, they ain't playing my song. I can't worship with this. Mm-mm. Now, I used to do that, okay? I'm talking from experience. Like, I can't worship this. This is whack. You know, I can't do this. No. Can't do that, all right? You got to be able, because Jesus ministered in any atmosphere. You know, in the street, there's goats and camels and donkeys braying and people yelling, children screaming and all sorts of stuff. Tax collectors yelling out stuff. The Pharisees trying to get on his nerves. Didn't bother him a bit. Oh, yeah, you're getting healed today. Devil, get out of him. Was not fazed. Do not let the atmosphere control you. You control the atmosphere. Okay, I got to move. Here we go. Okay, so meditation. Psalms 1, verse 1 through 3, I'm sure you guys all know this. Blessed is the man, walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Now look what it says here when you do this. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. It says when you meditate that you're like a tree planted by the water, by the flow, by the rivers. When you're meditating on God and your mind is in order, it can activate the Spirit. Now, understand me. When you're praying in the Holy Ghost does not pray through your understanding of your mind. However, your mind is a gateway that can control and can, direct where the Spirit is going, all right? So if your mind has been watching basketball all day, when it's time to pray, it's going to be a little bit difficult to try and get into that flow, you know? Because where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. The scripture says in Matthew 6, I believe verse 21, it talks about that. So if your mind is on God, then this will stir you up. So one of the things I used to do to get in that deep tongues is I used to have about 10 minutes of meditation. I would shut everything off, had no music playing, close my eyes, and I would take myself back to when I was laughing in the Spirit. I'd take myself back to when I was just shouting the house down. I'd take myself back to a youth convention or whatever where the Spirit of God was so thick you could cut it with a knife. And as I was remembering that, the same feelings I had at those moments would start to rise within me. And I could just feel like a geyser rising, just bubbling over. And then when it was time to pray, as soon as I prayed, blam, tongues, gone. Because I stirred them up, woke them up. Meditation. Now, another way you can meditate also is watch Holy Ghost videos. This is something you can do with technology. Something else you used to do, go on YouTube. Just watch YouTube videos of outpourings of the Holy Ghost. Man, it'll get you psyched up. Watch people receiving the Holy Ghost for the first time as people are praying. Oh, man, it gets your heart going because the Holy Spirit in you is remembering when that person was filled, right? You're remembering what it felt like to experience that. And I'm not trying to get on feelings all the time, but it can help you stir him up. Start watching videos on the Holy Spirit moving, and then it'll be easier to activate, easier to stir up and get into it. As I said, Matthew 6, 21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Verse 22, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single or focused, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? If your eye is focused on the Spirit of God, on the light of God, the light will come in and will illuminate. It will stir up within you. Praying with a partner or group. Praying with a partner or group. If you're having trouble in this area, find someone else that you can trust to pray with. Again, when I was 12 years old, still growing in this thing, I had a prayer partner. Unfortunately for me, I was a bit different from the other kids in the youth group. I'm not saying I was special or anything, but I really wanted to know about this thing. So I went, and we had a prayer meeting, we had prayer services. I would go to the elders and listen to how they prayed and pray with them or ask them to pray for me because I wanted to grow in this. And I can list about 5 or 6 elders. I would go and just hang around and just watch how they worship, watch how they pray, pray with them, link up with them, and listen. And because of that, I grew and I matured. Sister Pat was my main person, was my main go-to. And to this day, she called me just like a few weeks ago. I was going through some stuff, and she called me, hey, you're going through some, aren't you? I'm like, how do you do that? Like, man, come on, that's amazing. It's Holy Spirit, man. So find a partner. Matthew 18, 19 through 20. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Power of agreement. The youth have really discovered this since we've gone to the convention. We've been praying in a small group together, just having these little intimate moments. We've had these powerful moves of God. And so it's really good. If you're struggling, find someone else that you can partner up with and draw from them. Draw from them in that regard. Okay, tongue tips. So again, practice in private. Sing, praise, worship. That's another good way to stir up the Spirit. Meditation. Watch Holy Ghost videos. Praying with a partner or group. Those are just some tips that you can use to stir up the Holy Ghost and to practice praying more fluently. All right, I'm on my last section, and it's really short, so I should be able to wrap this up. I want to let that sink in just for a minute. I'm at a loss for words. Section number 3. Don't know what to say. Like a deer caught in headlights. I'm at a loss for words. We've all had those moments. When something just completely blindsides us. I'm trying to look at the picture. Blindsides us. We don't know what to say. Now, I kind of touched about this in section number one, but I want to dive deeper in this, okay? So we've had those moments. Yeah, Steve Harvey, I had to have him. Someone in Family Feud says the dumbest response. He don't even know what to say. And you're going to have those moments when you're facing a crisis that comes out of nowhere, like it knocks the wind out of you. And you don't know what to say. This is where praying in tongues can come into hand. So sometimes we are confronted with a situation that is beyond our capabilities, and we have to rely on the Holy Ghost to get the job done. Again, I'm going to read this scripture again. I read it earlier. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings. That word groanings, which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, groaning in the Spirit, we'll talk about this for a minute. Groaning in the Spirit is a level of praying in the Holy Ghost, usually an intercession where words may not be sufficient in expressing or dealing with an issue. And I've been there. I've been there where I've got so heavy in the Spirit, I couldn't even speak words or in tongues. All I could do was groan because I could feel the heaviness. I could feel the struggle, the warfare that was going on. And I was trying to birth this, and like a woman that's giving birth, trying to push this thing out in my spirit. And all I could do was groan. Now, this is really amazing what I'm about to show you, okay? And this is also, I don't take credit for this. I got this from, Currie Blake's study on diversity of tongues. He pointed this out about groaning in the Spirit. The best example of someone groaning in the Spirit is Jesus. Now, in the story of Lazarus, okay, Lazarus died, right? Jesus arrives 4 days late. Mary and Martha said, well, if you had been there, my brother would not have died, all right? And then Jesus is like, where have you laid Lazarus? And they said, well, come, Lord, and see. Now, look what it says here in John 11, verse 33. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, talk about Mary and Martha, saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the Spirit and was troubled. So now we tend to think, well, he was just overcome with grief. But there actually is something really deep going on here, all right? Now, when you look at the Greek word here, and I'm going to try my best to pronounce this, so if I butcher this, forgive me, okay? It's embrymyomai, something like that. There you go, close enough. I practiced saying this word before I even taught this message, and I still was messing it up. Now, anyway, it's that Greek word up there. Look, the Greek word for groaning, use the word groaning in the Spirit, the word groan. Look what the definition for this is, okay? This is really amazing when I saw this. Look at the definition for groaning that it uses for describing Jesus. The word groaning means to snort with anger as a war horse preparing for battle. That's a literal definition of that word groaning. When it uses that Jesus groaned in the Spirit, what was he doing? He was stirring himself up. He was getting himself enraged at the fact that the devil had taken Lazarus's life. He was groaning in the Spirit. He was snorting as a war horse preparing for battle. It's a snort of anger. He was getting angry at the situation. When it says Jesus wept, have you ever been so angry that you cried? Children do this all the time. He won't give me back my joy. Right? Sister 17, Sister John, I know you can attest to this. Right? Getting so angry you cried? Believe the reason why Jesus wept, because he was so overwhelmed with anger, he was so stirred up in the Spirit to deal with the situation that he had that reaction. When we're groaning in the Spirit, what we're really doing is we are preparing ourselves to go to war against the devil, like a war horse. Getting ready to go on the battlefield. That's a groan in the Spirit. That's what it means there. So whenever we get to this level, and like I said, I've been there before. I just got so heavy, I could feel that there was a battle going on for someone's salvation, for someone's healing. We got to that place, and we're going to war. We're going to battle. Groaning in the Spirit. And this, again, is useful whenever we just don't quite have the words to say to deal with the situation, to deal with the issue. Oh, I must put the same thing. Yep, okay, that was my last point I really wanted to say. I got done before 8:30, so anyway, I hope that this has blessed you. I want to encourage you all, pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Holy Ghost. A Holy Ghost praying church is a dangerous church to the kingdom of darkness. And I can attest to this, since I've been doing it, I've already been seeing changes in me. And I know the more that I do it and the longer I do it, I'm going to see even more growth in my spirit and in the manifestations of the gifts. So let's do that. Now, Pat, our theme this year is open door. I mean, that's just God right there giving Pastor that word about the open door. The Holy Spirit is going to enable us to walk through that door. It's going to enable us to walk through that door. Well, that's the problem that we have, is that Jesus has made the opportunity. We're just not taking advantage of it. Take advantage. Pray in tongues. You're driving in your car. Put on some worship music. Sit and listen to the radio. Start praying in the Spirit. You're walking down the street, or you're exercising. Pray in the Holy Ghost. You know, you're sitting around doing nothing, about to get on Netflix. Instead of getting on Netflix, pray in the Holy Ghost. Watch what happens as you do this. God bless you.